People were spilling from the broken observatory as the hoverboard settled to the earth. Tally spotted the new Smokies, Croy, Ride, and Maddie, along with a few uglies she didn't recognize, and the 24 or so Crims who'd come along on the escape. Tally searched for Zane's face among the crowd, but he wasn't there. She jumped from the board, running to hug Fausto. He grinned at her, and she could see from his sharpened expression that he'd taken the pills. He wasn't just bubbly anymore. He was cured.
"Tally, you smell," he said, still grinning.
"Oh, yeah, long trip. Long story.
I knew you'd make it. But where's Paris?" She took a deep breath of the cold mountain air.
"Chickened out, huh?" Fausto said before she could answer.
When she nodded, he added,
"Always thought he would.
Take me to Zane." Fausto turned, gesturing toward the observatory. The others were hovering close, but looked a little put off by her bedraggled appearance and ripe smell. The Crims called out hellos, and she could see the uglies reacting to a new pretty face, their eyes widening, even though she was a mess. Worked every time, even when they didn't think you were a god. Tally paused to nod at Croy.
"I haven't had a chance to thank you yet."
He raised an eyebrow.
"Don't thank me. You did it yourself."
She frowned, noticing that Maddie was staring strangely at her. Tally ignored the look, not interested in what David's mother thought, and followed Fausto into the broken dome. It was dark inside. A few lanterns were strung up around the edge of the huge, open hemisphere, and a narrow shaft of blinding sunlight streamed through the dome's great fissure. An open fire cast jittering shadows through the space, its smoke climbing lazily up through the crack overhead. Zane lay on a pile of blankets by the fire, his eyes closed. He looked even thinner than when he'd been trying to starve the cuffs off, his eyes sunken into his head. The covers rose and fell softly with his breathing. Tally swallowed. "But David said he was okay."
"He's stable," Fausto said, "which is good, considering."
"Considering what?" Fausto spread his hands helplessly.
"His brain."
A chill moved through Tally, the shadows in the corners of her eyes rippling for a moment.
"What about it?" she said softly.
"You had to experiment, didn't you, Tally?"
came a voice from the darkness. Maddie stepped into the light, David at her side. Tally held her steely glare.
"What are you talking about?"
"The pills I gave you were meant to be taken together."
"I know, but there were two of us."
Tally trailed off at David's expression.
"And I was too scared to do it alone," she added to herself, remembering the panic of those moments in Valentino 317.
"I suppose I should have known," Maddie said, shaking her head. "This was always a risk, letting a pretty head treat herself."
"What was?"
"I never explained how the cure worked, did I?" Maddie said. "How the nanos remove the lesions from your brain? They break them down, like the pills that cure cancer."
"So what went wrong?"
"The nanos didn't stop. They went on reproducing, breaking down Zane's brain."
Tally turned to look at the form on the bed. His breathing seemed so shallow, the movement of his chest at the edge of perception. She faced David.
"But you said the cure worked perfectly." He nodded. "It does. Your other friends are fine. But the two pills were different. The second pill, the one you took, is the cure for the cure. It makes the nanos self-destruct after they finish with the lesions. Without it, Zane's nanos kept reproducing, kept eating away at him. Mom said they stopped at some point, but not before they did a certain amount of damage."
The sickening feeling in Tally's stomach redoubled as the realization sunk home. This was her fault. She had swallowed the pill that would have kept Zane from this. The cure for the cure. How much damage?
We don't know yet, Maddie said. I had enough stem tissue to regenerate the destroyed areas of his brain, but the connections that Zane had built up among those cells are gone. Those connections are where memories and motor skills are stored, and where cognition happens. Some parts of his mind are almost a blank slate.
A blank slate? You mean, he's gone?
No, just a few places are damaged, Fausto spoke up. And his brain can rewire itself, Tally. His neurons are making new connections. That's what he's doing right now. Zane had been doing it all along. He hoverboarded all the way here on his own before he collapsed.
Rather amazing that he lasted so long, Maddie said, shaking her head slowly.
I think not eating is what saved him. By starving himself, he eventually starved the nanos. They appear to be gone.
He can still talk and everything, Fausto said. He looked down at Zane. He's just a little tired right now.
It could have been you in that bed, Tally.
Maddie shook her head.
A 50-50 chance. You just got lucky.
That's me, little Miss Lucky, Tally said softly.
Of course, she had to admit to herself that it was true. They'd split the two pills randomly, assuming they were the same.
The nanos could have been eating away at Tally's brain all this time instead of Zane's. Lucky her. She let her eyes close, realizing at last how hard Zane must have worked to hide what was happening to him. All those long silences when they'd been wearing the cuffs, he'd been fighting, struggling, to keep his mind together, unsure exactly what was happening, but risking everything to escape becoming pretty-minded again.
Tally gazed down at him, wishing for a moment it had been the other way around. Anything was better than seeing him like this. If only she'd taken the nano pill, and that he had taken the one that... had done what?
Wait a second. If Zane got the nanos, how did my pill cure me?
It didn't, Maddie said. Without the other pill, the anti-nanos you took would have no effect whatsoever.
But it was you, Tally, came a soft voice from the bed. Zane's eyes had opened a slit, catching the sunlight like the edges of gold coins. He gave her a weary smile.
You got bubbly on your own.
But I felt so different after we... She fell silent, remembering that day. Their kiss, sneaking into Valentino Mansion, climbing the tower. But of course, all those things had happened before they'd taken the pills. Being with Zane had changed her from the beginning, from that first kiss. Tally remembered how her cure always seemed to come and go. She'd had to work to stay bubbly, more like the other Crims than Zane.
He's right, Tally, Maddie said. Somehow, you cured yourself.
Cold water. Tally stayed at Zane's bedside. He was awake and talking now, and it was easier to be here than dealing with everything that she and David still had to work out. The others left them alone.
Did you know what was happening to you?
Zane took a moment before answering. His speech was full of long silences now, almost like Andrew's epic pauses.
I knew that everything was getting harder. Sometimes I had to concentrate just to walk. But I hadn't felt so alive since I'd turned pretty. It was worth it, being bubbly with you. I figured once we found the new smoke, they could help me.
They are helping. Maddie said that she put in some new... Tally swallowed.
Brain tissue? He supplied and smiled. Sure. Blank neurons, fresh out of the oven.
Just gotta fill them up now. We will. We'll do bubbly making things, Tally said. But the promise felt strange in her mouth. We meant she and Zane, as if David didn't exist.
If there's enough left of me to be bubbly, he said tiredly, it's not like all my memories are gone. It was mostly my cognition centers that were affected, and some motor skills.
Cognition? You mean like thinking? Tally said.
Yeah, and motor skills, like walking, he shrugged. But the brain's built to take damage, Tally. It's wired so that everything is stored everywhere, sort of. When a part of it gets damaged, things don't get lost, just fuzzier. Like a hangover, he laughed. A really bad one. On top of which, I'm sore from lying in bed all day. And it feels like I've got a toothache from all this smoky food. It's just phantom pains from brain damage, Maddie says. He rubbed one cheek with a scowl. She took his hand.
I can't believe you're so brave about this.
It's incredible.
You should talk, Tally.
He struggled to sit up, his movements shaky and infirm.
You managed to cure yourself without getting your brain chewed up. That's what I'd call incredible.
Tally looked down at their clasped hands. She didn't feel very incredible. She felt smelly and dirty and horrible that she hadn't had the guts to take both pills, which would have prevented all of this from happening. She didn't even have the guts to talk to Zane about David, or vice versa, which was just pathetic.
Is it strange seeing him? He asked.
She looked at Zane, and he chuckled at her surprise. Come on, Tally. It's not like I'm reading your mind.
I had plenty of warning about this.
You told me about the guy the first time we kissed, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So Zane had been expecting this all along. Tally should have foreseen it herself. Maybe she simply hadn't wanted to face the obvious.
Yeah, it is strange seeing him. I definitely didn't expect to find him waiting for me in the ruins. Just me and him alone.
Zane nodded.
It was interesting, waiting for you. His mother said you wouldn't come at all, that you must have chickened out, because you hadn't really been cured. Like you were just playing along with me, imitating my bubbliness.
Tally rolled her eyes.
She doesn't much like me. You don't say, he grinned. But David and me figured you'd show up sooner or later. We figured that...
Tally groaned. So are you guys, like, friends now?
Zane took one of his excruciatingly long pauses. I guess so. He asked me a lot about you when we first got here. I think he wanted to know how being pretty has changed you.
Really?
Really. He was the one who met us when we arrived in the ruins. Him and Croy camping out and watching for flares. It turns out that those two left the magazines for the city uglies to find, so they'd know the ruins were being visited again.
Zane's voice had gotten dreamy, as if he was falling asleep.
At least I finally got to see him again, after chickening out all those months ago.
He turned to her.
David really missed you, you know.
I ruined his life, Tally said softly.
You didn't do anything on purpose. David understands that now. I told him how when you'd planned to betray the smoke, it was because the specials threatened to keep you ugly for life.
You told him that? Tally let out a slow breath. Thanks. I never really had a chance to explain why I'd come to the smoke, how they'd forced me. Maddie made me leave the same night I confessed everything.
Yeah, David wasn't happy with her about that. He wanted to talk to you again.
Oh, she said. There was so much that she and David hadn't gotten straight between them. Of course, the thought of Zane and him discussing her history in great detail didn't exactly thrill Tally, but at least David knew the whole story now. She sighed. Thanks for telling me all this,
It must be weird. A little, but you shouldn't feel so bad about what happened back then. Why not? I destroyed the smoke, and David's father died because of me.
Tally, everyone in the city is manipulated. The purpose of everything we're taught is to make us afraid of change. I've been trying to explain it to David, how, from the day we're born, the whole place is a machine for keeping us under control.
She shook her head. That doesn't make it right to betray your friends.
Yeah, well, I did, long before you even met Shay. When it comes to the smoke, I'm just as much at fault as you.
She looked at him in disbelief. You? How?
Did I ever tell you how I met Dr. Cable?
Tally looked at him, realizing that this was one conversation they'd never had a chance to finish.
No, you didn't. After the night that Shay and I chickened out, most of my friends were gone away to the smoke. The dorm minders knew I was the leader, so they asked me where everyone had run off to. I played tough and didn't say a word, so special circumstances came for me.
His voice grew softer, as if the cuff were still around his wrist.
They took me to that headquarters of theirs out in the factory belt, same as you. I tried to be strong, but they threatened me, said they'd make me into one of them.
One of them? A special? Tally swallowed.
Yeah. After that, being a pretty head didn't seem so bad anymore. So I told them everything I knew. I told them that Shay had planned to run away, but also chickened out. And that's why they knew about her. And that's probably why they started watching.
His voice trailed off. Tally blinked.
Watching me, when she and I became friends. He nodded tiredly. So you see, I started the whole thing by not leaving when I was supposed to. I'll never judge you for what happened to the smoke, Tally. It was my fault as much as yours.
She took his hand, shaking her head. He couldn't accept blame, not after everything he'd gone through.
Zane, no, it can't be your fault. That was a long time ago, she sighed. Maybe neither of us is to blame.
They were silent for a while, Tally's own words echoing in her head. With Zane lying here in front of her, his mind half missing, what was the point of wallowing in old guilt? His or hers, or anyone's? Maybe the bad blood between her and Maddie was as meaningless as the feud between Andrew's village and the outsiders. If they were all going to live together here in the new smoke, they would have to let the past go. Of course, things were still complicated. Tally took a slow breath, then said, "So, what do you think of David?" Zane looked at the arch ceiling dreamily.
"He's very intense. Really serious. Not as bubbly as us, you know?"
Tally smiled and squeezed his hand. "Yeah, I do."
"And kind of ugly."
She nodded, remembering how back in the smoke, David had always looked at her as if she was pretty. And at times, looking at him had felt the same as looking into a pretty's face. Maybe when she'd had the real cure, those feelings would come back. Or maybe they were really gone for good. Not because of any operation, but just because time had passed, and because of what she'd had with Zane. When Zane had finally fallen asleep, Tally decided to take a bath. Fausto told her how to get to a spring on the far side of the mountain, choked with icicles at this time of year, but deep enough to submerge your whole body.
"Just take a heated jacket," he said, "or you'll freeze to death before you make it back."
Tally figured death was better than being this filthy, and she needed more than a rub down with a wet cloth to feel clean again. She also wanted to be alone for a while, and maybe the shock from some freezing water would help her get up the nerve to talk to David.
Hoverboarding down the mountain in the crisp, late afternoon air, Tali was amazed at how clear and bright everything looked. She still found it hard to believe that she hadn't really taken the cure. She felt as bubbly as ever. Maddie had muttered something about a placebo effect, as if believing you were cured would be enough to fix your brain. But Tali knew it was more than that. Zane had changed her. From their very first kiss, even before he'd had the cure himself, being with him had made her bubbly. Tali wondered if she even needed the cure now, or if she could stay this way forever on her own. The thought of swallowing the same pill that had eaten away Zane's brain didn't thrill her, even with the anti-nanos as a chaser. Maybe she could skip it altogether and rely on Zane's magic. They could help each other now, rewiring his brain at the same time Tali fought becoming pretty-minded. They had come this far together after all. Even before the pills, they had changed each other. Of course, David had changed Tali too. Back in the smoke, he'd been the one who'd convinced her to stay in the wild, even to stay ugly, giving up her future in the city. Her reality had been transformed by those 2 weeks in the smoke, starting when? That first time David and she had kissed. How lucky is that? Tali muttered to herself, Sleeping Beauty with two princes. What was she supposed to do? Choose between David and Zane? Especially now that all three of them were living together here at Fort Smoky? Somehow, it didn't seem fair that she found herself in this position. Tali had barely remembered David when she'd met Zane. But she hadn't wanted to have her memories erased, after all. Thanks again, Dr. Cable, she said. The water looked really cold. Tali had easily kicked through the layer of ice on top, and was now staring down with dread into the gurgling spring. Maybe smelling bad wasn't the worst thing in the world. Spring would come in only 3 or 4 months, after all. She shivered, turning the heat up in her borrowed jacket, then sighed and started to take off her clothes. This little bath would be very bubbly-making, at least. Tali smeared a soap packet onto herself before jumping in, rubbing some into her hair, guessing she would last about 10 seconds in the half-frozen spring. She knew she'd have to jump. No dangling of the foot or lowering herself in slowly. Only the laws of gravity would keep her going once her naked flesh hit the cold water. Tali took a breath, held it, and leaped into the spring. The icy water crushed her like a vice, forcing the breath from her lungs, locking every muscle tight. She hugged herself with her arms, rolling into a ball in the shallow pool, but the cold seemed to cut through her flesh and straight into her bones. Tali fought to take a breath, but managed only shallow little gasps of air, her entire body shaking as if it would break apart. With a titanic act of will, she dunked her head in, erasing all sound, the rasp of her breath and gurgle of the spring replaced by the rumble of roiling water. She rubbed furiously at her hair with trembling hands. When her head burst into the air again, Tali drew in great breaths and found herself laughing. Everything had turned strangely clear, the world more bubbly than a cup of coffee or a glass of champagne could make it, the sensation more intense than falling toward the earth on her hoverboard. She lay there for a moment in the water, amazed at it all, the clarity of the sky and the perfection of a leafless tree nearby. Tali remembered her first bath in a cold stream on the way to the smoke, all those months ago. How it had shifted the way she saw the world, even before the operation had put the lesions on her brain, before she'd met David, much less Zane. Even then, her mind had started to change, realizing that nature didn't need an operation to make it beautiful. It just was. Maybe she didn't need a handsome prince to stay awake, or an ugly one for that matter. After all, Tali had cured herself without the pill and had made it all the way here on her own.
no one else she'd ever heard of had escaped the city twice. Maybe she'd always been bubbly, somewhere inside. It only took loving someone, or being out in the wild, or maybe just a plunge into freezing water to bring it out. Tally was still in the pond when she heard the cry, a hoarse shout that came from the air. She climbed out hurriedly, and the wind cutting through her felt colder than the water. The towels Tally had brought were brittle in the chill air, and she was still drying herself when a hoverboard streaked into view, banking to a halt a few meters away. David hardly seemed to register that she was naked. He jumped from the board and ran toward her, clutching something in his hand. Skidding to a halt by her pack, he waved the device across it, scanning it for bugs, she realized. "It's not you," he said. "I knew it wasn't." Tally was pulling on her clothes. "But you already..." A signal just started up out of nowhere, broadcasting our location. We picked it up on the radio, but haven't localized it yet. He looked down at her pack, the relieved expression still on his face. "But you didn't bring it." "Of course I didn't." Tally sat down to yank on her boots. Her pounding heart began to drive the cold from her body. "Don't you scan everyone who joins you?" "Yeah, but the bug must have been dormant. It only started sending when someone activated it. Or maybe it was set to go off at a certain time." His eyes scanned the horizon. "The specials will be here soon." She stood. "So we run." He shook his head. "We can't go anywhere until we find it." "Why not?" She pulled on crash bracelets. "It's taken us months to build up the supplies we've got, Tally. We can't leave them all behind, not with all you crims having just joined us. But we won't know what's safe to take until we figure out where the signal's coming from. It's not showing up anywhere." Tally hoisted her pack and snapped her fingers, her board rising into the air. As she stepped on, her mind still racing from the freezing bath, she recalled something from earlier that day. "Toothache," she said.
"What?"
"Zane was in the hospital 2 weeks ago. It's inside him." Tracker. They swept back up the mountain, banking hard against the high gravities of their turns. Tally stayed in the lead, positive that she was right. The doctors had made Zane unconscious for a few minutes in the hospital when they'd repaired his broken hand. They must have hidden a tracker in his teeth at the same time. Of course, regular city doctors wouldn't have done something like that on their own. It had to be the work of special circumstances. The camp was bedlam when they arrived. New Smokies and Crims ran in and out of the observatory door with equipment, clothing, and food, making two piles beside Croy and Maddie, who stood waving scanners over everything wildly. Others hurriedly repacked the scanned gear, getting ready to flee once the bug was found. Tally tipped back her hoverboard and forced it up as high as it would go, launching herself over the chaos, directly at the broken dome. When the board reached its maximum height, the lifter shuddered, then firmed up as the magnets found the steel frame of the observatory. The crack in the dome was wide enough to glide through, and Tally dropped straight down through the rising smoke, jumping off next to Zane's makeshift bed. He looked up at her with a soft smile. "Nice entrance, Tally." She knelt beside him. "Which tooth hurts?" "What's going on? Everyone's freaking out." "Which tooth hurts, Zane? You have to show me." He frowned, but stuck a trembling finger into his mouth, tenderly probing the right side. Tally pulled his hand away and opened his mouth wider, and he made a whimper of protest. "Shh, I'll explain in a second." Even in the dim firelight, she could see it. One tooth stood out from the others, its shade of white imperfectly matched, a rushed bit of dentistry, of course. The signal was coming from Zane. The weep of a scanner booting up sounded beside her ear. David had followed her down the hole into the dome. He waved the scanner past Zane's face, and it buzzed angrily.
"It's in his mouth?" David asked.
"In his tooth. Get your mother."
"But Tally, get her. You and I can't take out a tooth."
He put a hand on her shoulder. "Neither can she. Not in a few minutes." She stood, staring into his ugly face.
"What are you saying, David?"
"We'll have to leave him behind. They'll be here soon."
"No," she shouted. "Go get her."
David swore and turned away, running toward the door of the observatory. Tally looked down at Zane again.
"What's happening?" he asked.
"They put a tracker in you, Zane, at the hospital."
"Oh," he said, rubbing his face.
"I didn't know, Tally, honest. I thought my toothache was from all this wild food."
"Of course you didn't know. You were unconscious for those minutes at the hospital, remember?"
"Are they really going to leave me?"
"I won't let them, I promise."
"I can't go back," he said weakly. "I don't want to be pretty-minded again."
Tally swallowed. If Zane was returned to the city now, the doctors would put the lesions back in, right on top of his blank new tissue. His brain would rewire around them. What chance would he have of staying bubbly? She couldn't let this happen.
"I'll take you on my hoverboard, Zane. We'll escape on our own if we have to."
Her mind raced. She'd still have to get rid of the tracker somehow. She couldn't just bash it out with a rock. Tally looked around for some sort of tool, but the new Smokies had taken everything useful outside to be scanned.
Voices came from the darkness. It was Maddie, David, and Croy.
Tally saw that Maddie was carrying some sort of forceps in her hand, and her heart skipped a beat. Maddie knelt beside Zane and forced open his mouth. He whimpered in pain again as the metal tool probed his teeth.
"Be careful," Tally pleaded softly.
"Hold this."
Maddie handed her a flashlight. When Tally pointed it into Zane's mouth, the discolored tooth was obvious. After a moment, Maddie said,
"This isn't good."
She released Zane's head, and he fell back onto the blankets with a groan, his eyes closing.
"Just take it out."
"They've rooted it to the bone." She turned to Croy. "Finish packing up. We have to run."
"Do something for him," Tally cried.
Maddie took the light from her.
"Tally, it's bonded to the bone. I'd have to shatter his jaw to remove it."
"So don't take it out. Just make it stop sending. Smash the tooth. He can take it."
Maddie shook her head. "Pretty teeth are made of the same stuff they use in aircraft wings. You can't just smash them. I'd need special dental nanos to break it down."
She turned the flashlight on Tally, reaching for her mouth. Tally twisted away.
"What are you doing?"
"Just making sure about you."
"But I didn't go to the
Tally began, but Maddie wrenched open her mouth. Tally growled at the back of her throat, but let the woman poke around for a moment. It was quicker than arguing. When she grunted and let go, Tally said,
"Satisfied?"
"For now, but we have to leave Zane behind."
"Forget it," Tally shouted.
"They'll be here in another 10 minutes, David said.
"Less." Maddie stood. Tally's vision swam with spots from the little flashlight. She could hardly see their faces in the firelight. Didn't they understand what Zane had gone through to get here? What he had sacrificed for the cure?
"I won't leave him."
"Tally," David began.
"It doesn't matter," Maddie interrupted. "Technically, she's still a pretty head."
"I am not."
"You didn't even take the right pill."
Maddie put a hand on David's shoulder. "Tally still got the lesions. Once they scan her brain, they won't even put her under the knife. They'll think she just came along for the ride."
"Mom," David shouted, "we are not leaving her."
"And I'm not coming," Tally said. Maddie shook her head. "Perhaps the lesions aren't as important as we thought. Your father always suspected that being pretty-minded is simply the natural state for most people. They want to be vapid and lazy and vain. Maddie glanced at Tally. And selfish. It only takes a twist to lock in that part of their personalities. He always thought that some people could think their way out of it.
Az was right, Tally said softly. I'm cured now.
David let out a pained growl.
Cured or not, Tally, you can't stay here. I don't want to lose you again. Mom, do something.
You want to argue with her? Go ahead. Maddie spun on one heel and strode toward the observatory entrance. We're leaving in 2 minutes, she said without turning around. With or without you?
David and Tally were silent for a few moments. It was like when they'd first seen each other in the ruins that morning, neither knowing what to say. Though now, Tally realized, David's face no longer shocked her. Maybe the panic of the moment or the freezing bath had stripped her remaining pretty thoughts away. Or maybe it had simply taken a few hours to align her memories and dreams with the truth. David wasn't a prince, handsome or otherwise. He was the first boy she'd fallen in love with, but not the last. Time and experiences apart had changed what had been between them. More important, she had someone else now. However unfair it was that her memories of David had been erased, Tally had built a whole new set of memories, and she couldn't just trade them in for the old ones. Zane and she had helped each other become bubbly, had been imprisoned by the cuffs together, and escaped the city together. She couldn't abandon him now, just because he had been robbed of part of his mind. Tally knew too well what that was like, being handed over to the city all alone. Zane was the one person in her life she had never betrayed, and she wasn't about to start now. She took his hand. I'm not leaving him. Think logically, Tally. David spoke slowly, talking to her like she was a littlie. You can't help Zane if you stay here. You'll both be captured. Your mother's right. They won't do anything more to my brain, and I can help him from inside the city. We can smuggle Zane, the cure, like we did for you. I didn't need the cure, David. Maybe Zane won't either. I'll keep him bubbly. I can help him rewire his brain. But he won't stand a chance without me. David started to speak, but froze for a moment. Then his voice changed, his eyes narrowing. You're just staying with him because he's pretty. Tally's eyes widened. I'm what? Don't you see it? It's like you always used to say. It's evolution. Since your crim friends got here, Mom's been explaining to me how prettiness works. He pointed at Zane. He's got those big, vulnerable eyes, that childlike perfect skin. He looks like a baby to you, a needy child, which makes you want to help him. You're not thinking rationally. You're giving yourself up just because he's pretty. Tally stared back at David in disbelief. How dare he say this to her? The mere fact that she was standing here proved that Tally could think for herself. Then she realized what was going on. David was only repeating Maddie's words. She must have warned him not to trust his feelings when he saw the new Tally. Maddie didn't want her son turning into some awestruck ugly, worshipping the ground Tally walked on. So now David thought that all Tally could see was Zane's pretty face. David still thought she was just some city kid. Maybe he didn't even really believe that she was cured. Maybe he'd never really forgiven her. It's not the way Zane looks, David, she said, her voice trembling with anger. It's because he makes me bubbly, and because we took a lot of risks together. It could just as easily be me lying there, and he would stay with me if it was. It's just programming. No, it's because I love him. David started to speak again, but the sound choked off. She sighed. Go on, David.
Whatever your mother said a second ago, she won't really leave without you. They'll all get caught if you don't start moving now. Tally. Go, she cried. David had to start running, or the new smoke would die, and it would be her fault again. But you can... Get your ugly face out of here, Tally screamed. The echo shuddered back at her from the observatory walls for a moment, and Tally tore her gaze away from David. She cradled Zane's face in one hand and kissed him. The shouted insult had the effect she'd wanted, but Tally couldn't bring herself to look up as she heard David's footsteps retreating into the darkness, first walking, then at a run. She saw shapes pulsing in the corners of her vision. It wasn't shadows cast by flickering fire. It was her heart, pounding so hard that she could see the rushing blood beating against her eyes, like something trying to escape. She had called David ugly. He would never forget that, nor would she. But she'd had to use the word, Tally told herself. Every second counted, and nothing else would have pushed him away so powerfully. She'd made her choice. I'll take care of you, Zane, she said. He opened his eyes into slits and smiled weakly. I hope you don't mind if I pretended to pass out for that. Tally let out a strangled laugh. Good idea. We really can't run? I think I can stand up. No, they'd just find us. He probed at his tooth with his tongue. Oh yeah, that sucks. And I almost got everyone else caught too. She shrugged. Been there, done that. Are you sure you want to stay with me? I can escape the city again, Zane, anytime I want. I can save you and Shay and everyone else we left behind. I'm cured for good now. Tally looked at the entrance, saw hoverboards lifting into the air. They were leaving. All of them. She shrugged again. Besides, I think it's pretty much a done deal. Running after David now would kind of spoil my brilliant breakup line. Yeah, I suppose that's true, Zane chuckled softly. Do me a favor, Tally. If you ever break up with me, just leave a note. She smiled back at him. Okay, as long as you promise never to put your hand in a crusher again. Agreed. Zane looked at his fingers, then made a fist. I'm scared. I want to stay bubbly. You'll be bubbly again. I'll help you. He nodded, grasping her hand. His voice shook as he said, Do you think David was right? My big, beautiful eyes are why you chose me? No, I think it was what I said. And what you said before you jumped off the balloon. She swallowed. What's your opinion? Zane lay back and closed his eyes, and was silent so long that Tally thought he had fallen asleep again. But then he said softly, You and David could both be right. Maybe human beings are programmed to help one another, even to fall in love. But just because it's human nature doesn't make it bad, Tally. Besides, we had a whole city of pretties to choose from, and we chose each other. She took his hand and murmured, I'm glad we did. Zane smiled, then closed his eyes again. A moment later, she saw his breathing slow and realized that he had managed to pass out again. At least brain damage had some advantages. Tally felt the last scraps of energy leave her body, and wished she could sleep too. Just spend the next few hours unconscious, and wake up in the city, an imprisoned princess again, as if this had all been a dream. She laid her head onto Zane's chest and closed her eyes. 5 minutes later, special circumstances arrived. Specials. The scream of hover cars filled the observatory, echoing like the cries of predatory birds. Whirlwinds from their rotors swept through the crack in the dome, sending the fire into a sudden blaze. Dust choked the air, and gray forms charged through the entrance, taking up positions in the shadows. "I need a doctor here," Tali announced in a tentative, pretty voice. "Something's wrong with my friend." A special appeared beside her out of the darkness. He held a weapon.
"Don't move. We don't want to hurt you, but we will if we have to."
"Just help my friend," she said. "He's sick." The sooner city doctors looked at Zane, the better. Maybe they could do more than Maddie had. The special said something into a handphone, and Tali glanced down at Zane. Fear showed through his slitted eyes. "It's okay," she said. "They'll help you." Zane swallowed, and Tali saw his hands trembling, the last of his brave front crumbling now that their captors had arrived. "I'll make sure you're cured, one way or another," she said. "A medical team is coming," the special said, and Tali smiled prettily at him. The city doctors might mistake Zane's condition for some kind of brain disease. Or maybe they would figure out that someone had attempted a cure for the lesions, but they would never recognize how Tali had transformed herself. She could pretend that she'd just come along for the ride, as Maddie had put it. Tali was safe from the operation now. Maybe Zane could be cured again without more pills. Maybe everyone in the city could be changed. After their balloon escape and another rescue by the specials, Tali and Zane would be even more famous. They could start something huge, something specials couldn't stop. A razor-edged voice came through the shadows, and Tali flinched.
"I thought I might find you here, Tali."
Dr. Cable came into the light, stretching her fingers toward the fire as though she'd stepped inside to get warm. "Hi, Dr. Cable. Can you help my friend?" The woman's wolf-like smile gleamed in the dark.
"Toothache?"
"Something worse." Tali shook her head. "He can't move, can hardly talk. Something's wrong with him." More specials streamed into the observatory, including three carrying a stretcher, wearing blue silk instead of gray. They pushed Tali out of the way and laid the litter down next to Zane. He closed his eyes.
"Don't worry," Dr. Cable said. "He'll be fine. We know all about his condition from your little trip to the hospital. It seems that someone slipped Zane some brain nanos. Very bad for his pretty head."
"You knew he was sick?" Tali stood up. "Why didn't you fix him?" Dr. Cable patted her shoulder.
"We brought the nanos to a halt. But the little implant in his tooth was programmed to give him headaches. False symptoms to keep you motivated."
"You were playing with us," Tali said, watching as the specials took Zane away. Dr. Cable was looking around the observatory.
"I wanted to see what you were up to and where you would go. I thought you might lead us to those responsible for young Zane's illness." She frowned. "I was going to wait a bit longer to activate the tracker, but after you were so rude to my good friend Dr. Valen this morning, I thought we should come out and bring you home. You certainly know how to cause trouble."
Tali stayed silent, her mind racing. The tracker in Zane's tooth had been activated remotely, but not until the other scientists had discovered Dr. Valen. Once again, Tali had brought specials along with her.
"We wanted a car to get away," she said, trying to sound pretty, "but we got lost." "Yes, we found it in the ruins. But I don't think you made it all the way here on foot. Who helped you, Tali?"
She shook her head. "No one." A special in gray silk appeared beside Cable and gave a quick report. His razored voice made Tally's flesh crawl, but she couldn't make out any of the muttered words.
"Send the youngsters after them," Dr. Cable ordered, then turned to Tali. "No one, you say? What about the cooking fires and hunting snares and latrines? Quite a few people were camped here, it seems, and they left not long ago. She shook her head. Pity we didn't get here quicker.
You won't catch them, Tally said with a pretty smile.
Won't we?
Dr. Cable's teeth gleamed red in the firelight.
We've got a few new tricks ourselves, Tally.
The doctor turned and strode toward the entrance. When Tally tried to follow, a special took her shoulder in a grip of iron and sat her down by the fire. Shouted orders and the sounds of more hover cars landing filtered into the dome. But Tally gave up trying to see what was going on through the entrance and stared at the flames unhappily. Now that Zane had been taken away, Tally only felt defeated. She'd been played perfectly by Dr. Cable again, tricked into finding the new smoke, almost betraying everyone one more time. And after her last words, David probably hated her now. But at least Fausto and the other Krims had escaped the city, hopefully for good. They and the new Smokies had the benefit of a few minutes' head start. They couldn't outrun the special's cars in a straight line, but their hoverboards were more nimble. Without Zane's tracker to give them away, they could simply disappear into the surrounding forest. Tally and Zane's rebellion had swelled the ranks of the new Smokies by a couple of dozen members, and now that the cure had been tested, they could bring it to the city, and to other cities. And eventually, everyone would be free. Maybe the city hadn't won, this time. And being caught might be the best thing for Zane. The city doctors would be better able to treat him than a band of outlaws on the run. Tally focused her mind on how she would help him recover, making him bubbly all over again if she had to. Maybe she would start with a kiss. An hour or so after the specials had first arrived, the fire had burned low, and Tally began to feel the cold again. As she turned up her jacket's heater, a shadow moved in the red shaft of sunset that slanted through the dome's opening. Tally started. It was someone coming down on a hoverboard. Was it David returning to save her? She shook her head. Maddie would never let him.
We got a couple of them,
a harsh voice called from the board. The gray silk of special uniforms fluttered in the gloom, two more figures descending through the crack in the dome. The hoverboards were longer than normal, with lifting fans built into their front and back ends. Their rotors stirred the embers of the fire. So this was their new trick, Tally thought. Specials on hoverboards. Perfect for tracking the new Smokies. She wondered who they'd caught.
Uglies or pretties? Dr. Cable called.
Tally looked up and saw that the doctor had rejoined her by the fire.
Just a couple of the Krims. The uglies all got away, came the answer.
Tally realized that beneath its razor sharpness, she recognized the sound of the special's voice. Oh, no. She said softly.
Oh yes, Tallywah.
The figure hopped off her board and strode into the firelight.
New Surge, do you like it?
It was Shay. She was special.
Dr. C let me get more tattoos. Aren't they totally dizzying?
Tally looked at her old friend, awestruck by the transformation. The spinning lines of flash tattoos covered her, as if Shay's skin were wrapped in a pulsing black net. Her face was lean and cruel, her upper teeth filed down to sharp, triangular points. She was taller, with hard new muscles in her bare arms. The line of the scars where she had cut herself stood out prominently, outlined with swirling tattoos. Shay's eyes flashed in the firelight like a predator's, shifting between red and violet as the flames danced. She was still pretty, of course, but her cruel, inhuman grace sent shivers through Tally, like watching a colorful spider traverse its web. Behind her, the other hoverboards descended. Ho and Tox, Shay's fellow cutters, each held a limp form. Tally grimaced when she saw that they'd caught Fausto, who'd never been on a hoverboard in his life before a few days ago. But most of the others had escaped, at least. And David had made it to safety. The new smoke still lived.
Think my new surge is pretty making, Taliwa? Shay said. Not too much for you?
Tali shook her head tiredly.
No, it's bubbly, Shayla.
A broad, cruel smile filled Shay's face. About a zillion millihellens, huh?
At least.
Tali turned from her old friend and stared into the fire. Shay sat down beside her.
Being special is more bubbly than you can imagine, Taliwa. Every second is totally spinning. Like I can hear your heartbeat, can feel the electric buzz of that jacket trying to keep you warm. I can smell your fear.
I'm not afraid of you, Shay.
You are a little bit, Taliwa. You can't lie to me anymore.
Shay put her arm around Tali. Hey, remember the crazy faces I used to design back when we were uglies? Dr. C will let me do them now. Cutters can surge however we want. Even the pretty committee can't tell us what we can and can't look like.
That must be great for you, Shayla.
Me and my cutters are the bubbly new thing in circumstances. Like special specials. Isn't that totally happy-making?
Tali turned to face her, trying to see what was behind the flashing violet-red eyes. Despite the pretty talk, she heard a cold, serene intelligence in Shay's voice, a pitiless joy in having snared her old betrayer.
Shay was a new kind of cruel pretty, Tali could see. Something even worse than Dr. Cable. Less human.
Are you really happy, Shay?
Shay's mouth quivered, her sharp teeth running along her lower lip for a moment, and she nodded.
I am now that I've got you back, Taliwa. It wasn't very nice, all of you running off like that without me. Totally sad-making.
We wanted you along, Shay, I swear. I left you all those pings.
I was busy.
Shay kicked at the dying fire with one boot.
Cutting myself. Searching for a cure. She snorted. Besides, I'd had enough of the camping thing. And anyway, we're together now, you and me.
We're against each other. Tali barely whispered the words.
No way, Taliwa.
Shay's hand squeezed her shoulder roughly. I'm sick of all the mix-ups and bad blood between us. From now on, you and I are going to be best friends forever.
Tali closed her eyes. So this was Shay's revenge.
I need you in the cutters, Tali. It's so bubbly making.
You can't do this to me, Tali whispered, trying to pull away.
Shay held her firmly. That's the thing, Taliwa. I can.
No, Tali cried, lashing out and trying to struggle to her feet. Quick as lightning, Shay's hand shot forward, and Tali felt a sharp sting on her neck. Seconds later, a thick fog began to settle over her. She managed to pull away and take a few stumbling steps, but her limbs seemed to fill with liquid lead, and she fell to the ground. A shroud of gray descended across the fire in front of her, the world growing dark. Words tumbled at her through the void, carried on a razor voice.
Face it, Taliwa. You're...
Bogus dreams. Over the next few weeks, Tali never quite awoke. She would stir sometimes and realize from the feel of sheets and pillows that she was in bed. But mostly her mind floated free of her body, drifting in and out of disjointed versions of the same dream. There was this beautiful princess locked in a high tower, one with mirrored walls that wouldn't shut up. There was no elevator or any other way down. But when the princess grew bored of staring at her own pretty face in the mirror, she decided to jump. She invited all her friends to come along, and they all followed her down, except her best friend, whose invitation had been lost. The tower was guarded by a gray dragon with jeweled eyes and a hungry maw. It had many legs and moved almost too fast to see.
but it pretended to be asleep and let the princess and her friend sneak past.
And you couldn't have this dream without a prince.
He was both handsome and ugly, bubbly and serious, cautious and brave. In the beginning, he lived with the princess in the tower, but later in the dream, he seemed to have been outside all along, waiting for her.
And in a dream logic way, he was often two princes, which she had to choose between. Sometimes the princess chose the handsome prince, and sometimes the ugly one. Either way, her heart was broken. And whomever she picked, the dream's ending never changed. The best friend, the one whose invitation had been lost, always tried to follow the princess. But the gray dragon woke up and swallowed her, and liked her taste so much that it came after the rest of them, hungry for more. From inside its stomach, the best friend looked out through the dragon's eyes and spoke with its mouth, swearing it would find the princess and punish her for leaving a friend behind. And over all those sleepy weeks, the dream always ended the same way, with the dragon coming for the princess, saying the same words every time.
Face it, Taliwa, you're special.
Pretties was written by Scott Westerfeld and read by Emily Tremaine. Editing and post-production by Matt Cartzonis. The associate producer was Louisa Solomon. Pretties was produced and directed by Matt Cartzonis. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Pretties is available in print from Simon Pulse. Also by Scott Westerfeld from Simon & Schuster Audio. Afterworlds, read by Heather Lind and Sheetal Sheff. And The Leviathan Series, read by Alan Cumming.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.